Morning, y'all. So we're in the middle of this series we're calling Revision, because as we start out this new year in 2019, that's exactly what a lot of us need, which is to be able to revision our lives, get a new perspective for what's possible, so that we can redefine what our lives are going to be about moving forward. Because if we don't take the initiative to make some changes this year, 2020 in January, we're going to be sitting at the exact same spot. And so in order to be able to move forward, we have to deal with the stuff of our past. And so that's how we've started out the series, and that's what we're doing today, is a little bit more of that, and as we're discussing moving past our resentment. Before we start, I want to ask you guys a few questions, and I'd like to see a show of hands if you guys are brave enough, all right? So how many of you would say that you have people in your lives who have hurt you or somebody that you love in some way, and it has hurt you pretty deep? You have some hard feelings toward this person or these people, and you really could care less whether you see him again for the rest of your lives or not. All right, look around. It's a lot of us. Make sure video, we get this all recorded here. How many of you would say that you have harbored bad feelings towards somebody at some time in your life, to the point that every time you think about what they did, it just ticks you off and it gets you all upset? And how many of you would admit that deep down in your heart, you have ever secretly wished that something bad would happen to that person? Just as I thought. You people are very evil people. And it's a good thing you got your rear end in church this morning. I'll do what I can with you. Look, everybody deals with resentment. We all, it's a very natural human thing, and I'm somebody who prides himself on not holding grudges against people and, you know, being a forgiving person, and yet when I sit down and just assess my heart, I have to deal with the same things. I have to deal with resentments that are still there, and, you know, sometimes you can think you've let go of stuff, and it's still there, and you've got to let go of it again and again and again. So today, if it's okay with you, I'd like to spend some time talking about how it is that we can deal with and let go of resentment so that we can experience more of a life of joy and love rather than the bitterness that resentment brings. So I like the image that the book of Hebrews paints about this idea of resentment. It says, make sure that no one misses out on God's grace. This is Hebrews 12. Make sure that no one misses out on God's grace. Make sure that no root of bitterness grows up that might cause trouble and pollute other people. I think that the Bible is really clear that it warns us that this resentment, this bitterness that builds up inside of us, it takes root inside of our heart. And if we're not careful, if we don't deal with it, that root gets deeper and deeper, and it grows inside the soil of a deep wound that has never, ever healed. And those bitter roots continue to grow deeper and grab hold of our lives until we can get down to the very bottom, like we're digging out a dandelion out of our garden, and get to the very bottom and rip them out completely so that there's no residual aspects of that root left, so that we can get it out clean so it doesn't come back. I started looking in the Bible for somebody who had a hard time dealing with resentment, and you'll never believe who I found. Ironically, it's somebody who is described as one of the great men of the Bible. It was King David. Now, I have to tell you this. David gives me hope for my own messed up life, because no matter what it is that I've done, he has done it and then some, and still come out on the other side being called a man after God's own heart somehow. So keep hope alive for your lives here. But it seems to me that David had a bit of a resentment problem. And King David had a son named Absalom. And instead of the great father-son relationship that every father dreams about, it became a relationship of pain. And to make a very long story short, Absalom turned against his own father to the point of recruiting an army that would go in and overthrow David so that Absalom could take over the throne for himself. But David, as any father would, couldn't bear the thought of actually fighting against his own son and potentially having to kill him. And so David makes a very difficult decision, and he chooses to retreat. He goes on the run, and in the face of humiliation, he flees the palace and the town. And as David is fleeing out of the town with his men, I am sure he must have thought, it can't get any worse than this. But it does. And in 2 Samuel chapter 16, as David is on the run, it says that as he approaches Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there, and his name was Shimei, son of Gera. And he cursed David as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones. Though all the troops and special guard were on David's right and his left, he was completely surrounded with guards. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood that you shed in the household of Saul, in whose palace you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. So here's this guy named Shimei who hated David because of stuff that's happened in the past. And quite frankly, Shimei obviously has a bit of a resentment problem as well. And so as he's fleeing town, Shimei chases after David. He pelts him with rocks and dirt clods, and he's yelling at him and just insulting him, saying he's getting what he deserved. And now for somebody to say and do those things to a king in that day would mean absolute certain death. And so, in fact, one of David's guys goes after Shimei, and he says to the king, hey, why should we let this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. Now, that's one way to deal with resentment, right? Just a clean cut and be done with it. Verse 10 says, but the king said, I don't know what this has to do with you. He's cursing me, and he's cursing me because the Lord said to him, curse David. And so how can you ask? Why do you do this? David said to all of his officials, look, my own son, my flesh and blood is trying to kill me. So how much more does this guy hate me? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look upon me because of this situation, my misery, and restore me to the covenant blessing instead of this curse today. So, look, doesn't it seem like David is dealing with this with great humility and restraint? Right? I mean, I'm impressed. So David says, don't kill him. Let him go. Well, as he lets Shimei off the hook, as he's telling his men to stand down and let him go, Shimei can't let it go. He takes advantage of David's good nature, and it says that as David continues down the road, Shimei goes all along, cursing and throwing stones at him, and now he's even showering him with dirt. I imagine him just picking up huge things of dirt and just throwing dirt everywhere until the point that David is absolutely humiliated. Talk about a pest. I would kill the guy. Now, when you hear that story, you go, gosh, it seems like David handled it pretty well, right? Everybody think that David's handling this well? No? Yeah? Yeah. I mean, even later, we read that David took back his throne from his son eventually. And when Shimei realizes that David is back on the throne, he goes, oh, crap, I've really screwed up. And so now he throws himself in 2 Samuel 19:18. He throws himself on the mercy of David and begs for forgiveness. And again, Even though David has the power, he's back on his throne, he's the man, David still shows compassion. And he lets him go. And this time, he actually gives him an oath and says, "You will never be killed." Amazing. The problem is this. While David let Shimei go, he never ever let go of the resentment that he had against him. And I'll just tell you, the story ain't done yet. But my question for you is, who is your Shimei? Who do you have resentment for that you've not been able to let go of? We've all been on the receiving end of hurts and insults, and they're not easy to forget, are they? Whether we like it or not, whether we'd like to be strong, but truth is they have an effect on us. Take a minute, think about it, ask yourself the question, who is my Shimei? Who do I have some unfinished business with? Who am I harboring resentment towards? For some of us, our Shimei is probably our parents. We have a long family history of pain. It's actually quite common. And whether we can't live up to their expectations, they're constantly criticizing, or there's been abuse, it's tough when it's your parents, and very personal. For others of us, you are sleeping with your Shimei. Your Shimei has become your husband or your wife. And through the years, we build up this resentment toward our spouse quietly until our relationship becomes a relationship of resentment. An interviewer once asked Billy Graham's wife if she had ever thought about divorce. And she thought about it for a minute and she said, "Divorce? No. Murder? A couple times." But that's the way it is. Like, you feel like you could just, and resentment takes that root inside of our relationships with our husband and spouse. We don't deal with it, we stuff it, and slowly through the years, we become alienated from each other. Others of us have gone through divorce, and now our ex-husband or our ex-wife has become our Shimei. There's a million other possibilities of abuse and hurt and pain that people have caused us to the point that we now have a resentment problem. Whatever it is for you that lies there in your past, there are some pretty deep emotional wounds that most of us have that we haven't dealt with that have caused our heart to shrink up and become bitter. And we never, ever forget. And they become our Shimei. Well, we know that David had a hard time letting go of resentment because, as I said, it's not the end of the story. Skip to 10 years later. As King David is on his deathbed, he gives some final words of wisdom to his youngest son Solomon, who is about to take over the throne and he's about to become king. And so there's this beautiful thing happening where David is giving him all his last words of wisdom and stuff like, "Son, you know, be strong, be a strong man as king, be wise." And he says, "Make sure that you stay close to God and keep your relationship with God as a priority." And then, just before he dies, David says, "Oh, hey, there's just one more thing. There's just one little piece of business that I need you to take care of for me when I'm gone. You remember that guy, Shimei, who cursed me and threw rocks at me like 10 years ago?" And Solomon's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, when he came down to meet me at the Jordan and he asked for forgiveness, I had compassion on him and I swore to him by the Lord that I would not put him to death. But now, son, don't consider him innocent, if you know what I'm saying." And so when David says, do you remember the day? You know, do you think that Shimei just kind of popped in his head coincidentally on his last day on this earth? No, I think David was consumed with this guy, the humiliation, the things that he said and did. And David had built up so much resentment, he remembered that day like it was yesterday. My guess is that the image of Shimei throwing rocks and cursing and throwing dirt all over him, I believe it played in his head over and over and over again like a bad movie. To the point that on his deathbed, David says to his son Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, "You are a man of wisdom, my son. You'll know exactly what to do with him." But in case he doesn't really know what to do with him, David tells him what to do with him. He says, "Bring his gray head down to the grave in blood." Dang, that is harsh. David resented Shimei so much that getting even with him was literally the last thing on his mind. Sadly, those were David's last words on this earth. Can you imagine just how deep David's resentment must have gone? How the bitterness had to build up year after year after year to get to the point of ordering his death as your last act on this earth? David had a resentment for Shimei that he absolutely could not let go of. Someone once said this: holding on to resentment is like gripping a hot coal in our hands with the intention of throwing it at somebody, but we're the ones who gets burnt. Resentment burns deep inside of us, and it takes hold of us, and it creates this root of bitterness that continues to grow to the point that you can hear the sucking sound of resentment suck the joy right out of our lives. And it replaces joy with bitterness. So who is it for you? Who is your Shimei? I think the resentment problem really comes down to a decision. Because when it comes to that, we have a choice. We can either retain it and keep it hidden in our heart and stuff it, or we can release it and be free of it. Most of us, either consciously or unconsciously, we retain it. We choose to stuff it. And you can shove it as deep down as you want to and try to convince you and everybody else that there's no problem here. But when you stuff your hurt like that, it always, I promise you, it always shows up again. And usually it shows up in very unhealthy ways. It shows up again at times when it causes unnecessary stress. You're stressed out, you don't know why. You have this anxiety, you don't know why. Or it causes physical problems like ulcers. Or it causes you to become angry. You get rageful for no apparent reason. You can't stuff it because it will come back one way or another again and again. And again, it always shows up. One sign that we're retaining resentment is that with certain hurts, we not only remember them, but we rehearse them in our heads. So just like with David, our Shimei insults us not only once, but over and over again in the DVRs of our hearts and minds, and we replay it. And like a scab, the more we pick at the pain, the more we bleed, and the less we are able to heal. Another sign that we're retaining resentment is that we have this desire to retaliate against the source of our bitterness. Now, most of us don't have the option that David did to, you know, have Shimei put to death. But we do the little things, don't we? We can retaliate with negativity. We can go negative on that person. We can get sarcastic. We can talk behind their back. We can put them down any chance we get. We can start rumors. I don't know of anything more fundamental to our humanness than the desire to hurt somebody back who has hurt us. It's a natural response. I have to tell you, I had a situation just this last week. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm a volunteer here, and I'm actually a real estate developer. And you may be saying, well, why is that guy on stage? So just this last week, I was dealing with one of my developments in downtown Chicago, and it required the cooperation of a neighboring business in order for me to get this ordinance done that I wanted to get done. It wasn't any negative impact on this business, but the business owner saw an opportunity to take advantage of my situation and to extort money out of me, which really ticked me off. And I was so ticked off, in fact, that I figured out a way to design around the guy so that I didn't need him. And so once I figured that out and I didn't need him, I was like, nah. I got you. To let you into the darkness inside my head, within 30 seconds, I began to think about all the ways that I could stick it to this guy 4 years from now when he needs the same cooperation from me when he goes to develop his property. I was looking to stick it to this guy. I am a church leader. I'm working on a sermon about resentment this week. Does it not make you proud to be a Westridger here this morning? It's embarrassing. But in the darkness of my heart, these things pop up. So I'm going to deflect and get attention back to David and his sin now. Because here's how the story ends for old Shimei. So after David dies, his son Solomon becomes king, and one of his first acts of king, it's too complicated to get into, but Solomon figures out a loophole that he can put Shimei into a trick bag where he can figure out a way around not breaking his father's oath and grant his father his deathbed wish. And so when that happens and Shimei blows it and he thinks he's coming in because of this infraction that was done for something else, King, now Solomon, David's son, calls Shimei in and he says, blah, 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 about the oath, but he says, now, what you know in your heart that you did wrong to my father David. And now the Lord will repay you for your wrongdoing. And then the king gave the order, and one of his men went out and struck Shimei down, and he died. Or as David would say, took his gray head down to the grave in blood. David got his revenge from the grave, and he roped his own son into it and created this legacy of resentment. And it makes me wonder what we're all leaving as a legacy. Because when that resentment and that bitterness is coming out, the people around you can't help but know exactly what's going on. Our children, they know what's up. And it creates this cycle of resentment that goes on and on and on. And here's the truth. We will never break the cycle of resentment until we can release the person that has wronged us from what they've done. You see, forgiveness is relinquishing the right to hurt somebody back, even if they deserve it. It's releasing it to God and refusing to say that sarcastic comment or giving that dirty look or going negative on that person or starting that rumor or putting that person down. Every time that I have a chance to hurt the person who has hurt me and I pass up on the opportunity, I'm getting closer to healing. I'm releasing that resentment. And pride is really one of the biggest barriers, I think, to healing. Because to give honest, heartfelt forgiveness is coming to a place in our lives of pure humility, no pride, no ego. It is just pure forgiveness. It is just allowing that person off the hook and giving them grace. And only then, when we do that, can healing begin. Here's the most important truth I want you to hear this morning. The best remedy for resentment is when I remember that I am no better than anybody else. That I have made mistakes. I have hurt people. I am more than likely the shimei of somebody else. And yet, I've been forgiven. In my own messed up life, I have been given grace. I'm not forgiven because I deserve it or am any better than anybody else, because I'm not. I'm forgiven because I have a God who loves me unconditionally. You see, when we finally get how much we mean to God and how radical is His love, can we finally begin to understand that God loves everybody like that? Even my shimei. The Bible says, he who has been forgiven much loves much and is able to forgive and release others from what they have done. Look, the truth is, I have been hurt in my life by people that I loved. And I've learned that the people that we love the most are the ones that can hurt us the deepest. And God promises that if we could just put it in His hands, if we could just find the strength to be able to let it go, that one day we can move past our pain and resentment. Because one day we will be able to give the grace to our shimei, the same grace that has been given to me and you.